page 90, left column, second paragraph. This coming from the Aseres Hadibros. Zohar es yom ha-Shabbos l'kadosho. Remember the day of Shabbos to make it holy. And in later on, in Parshas Vayeshana, the Torah writes Shomer to guard the Shabbos day, and then we have Zohar v'Shomer, or Shomer v'Zohar b'Dibur Echad. But the first time it's mentioned, it's in the positive, Zohar. Shal yidei ha-zechira netosef kedusha l'Shabbos. Through our bringing Shabbos to mind, that's how I'm going to translate to remember it, is to bring it to mind. Holiness is added to the Shabbos day. Pirish, meaning Shorish HaShabbos Ma'od Na'ala, the root and the source of Shabbos itself is very elevated and very, very lofty. Avol Kefima Shezochren B'nei Yisroel, but according to the amount that we bring it to mind, V'shomri Matzmam, and watch ourselves Kol Yemei HaShavua, every day of the week, Mikol Tumah V'Dovara, from all things that are Tumah and from anything which is a Dovara. Tumah here meaning, in this context, things that are bad, not Tumah that we know about, which is not bad. But guarding ourselves from those things which are bad. Kidei Sheyihiyu Muchanim L'Kabel HaShabbos B'Tahara. So by guarding ourselves throughout the whole week, bringing Shabbos to mind, and making sure each day of the week that we're guarding our purity, then we're able to be Mekabel Shabbos in Tahara, in a state of purity.
It's interesting, I never really made the connection, but Zechira and Shmira are really two of the important aspects of a Shiva as well.
Of Shiva?
Kibud HaMesid.
Right. Remembering them,
yeah,
as
remembering
one.
Them and guarding them until the kavura.
Right. Very good. That's right. Al yedei zeh yicholin lahamshich shorish hakedusha. By means of this, meaning by how we prepare and watch ourselves during the week, even we can bring forth the source of kedusha liyom hashabbos sheba olam hazeh mamish. To the Shabbos day that manifests itself in this world.
So it's like, usually we talk about how Shabbos radiates for the whole rest of the week. Here we're saying how what we do during the week affects
Shabbos. That's right. And then you have this back and forth mm-hmm. between them. It affects Shabbos, then Shabbos affects the week, mm-hmm. and we build on that. And he says there's a very lofty place called Shabbos somewhere up there. And when we experience Shabbos in this world, that's how that very high place manifests itself here. So each week it comes down, it manifests itself, and our ability to draw from it has to do with how we watch ourselves during the course of the whole week, not just on that day. V'isa kavdehu b'ksus nikiya. One of the things that the halacha writes is, how does one honor Shabbos? With ksus nikiya, clean clothing, and that means special Shabbos clothes. That's one of the halachas of Kavod Shabbos. Kishoresh neshama yisera, because the source of the extra neshama that we get, sheyesh l'chol ish yisrael b'Shabbos, each Jewish person receives an extra measure of neshama, an extra facet of our soul on Shabbos. Tzorech guf kadosh b'tohar. In order for this to happen properly, our body must be holy and pure. Shehu haksus v'hamalbush l'ruach ha-neshama shebekirba. And the body, page 90, is the garment and the clothing for the soul which is within us. And so he's saying this is the parallel. Just as our physical body is the clothing for our soul, it's the encasement of our neshama. So the mitzvah of wearing clean, nice clothes on Shabbos, actual clothing, is to bring to mind and also to make it more possible that the neshama yisera that comes down on Shabbos is to be honored by a more pure and holy body. So putting on new clothes, a new case, so to speak, we prepare our physical clothing, our guf, for the neshama yisera that comes down on Shabbos. So that's the correlation between clothing and the body.
Why is the clothing black and white?
It doesn't have to be black and white. That's just...
I know. You know. It doesn't have to.
No, it certainly doesn't. That's just the prevalence, prevalent practice nowadays. But it has to do mainly with simplicity. That's okay. What it's related to.
And what about the equality of clothing? I mean, one person can buy a suit for $100, another person can buy a suit for $1,000. Right. It doesn't make any difference.
Not at all. Each person according to their abilities. As long as one attempts within their means to honor Shabbos, that's really what counts.
But what if that isn't the intent of a $1,000 suit?
Well, it's always the case with mixed up and motivations that are more than one dimensional, that have many dimensions to them. But if the intent of honoring Shabbos is part of that, so that certainly elevates it, it has to do with other things, then that would be, problematic.
Because that's the concept of the uniform. The concept of the uniform is that everybody wears the same clothes and pays the same amount of money, so that those kids who can't afford don't feel bad
in
when
school.
They see the kids
right.
that,
right.
dress up very fancy.
Right. And of course, to an extent, a lot of the clothing shtick is out of control. With ever more expensive bekishes and black hats and strimals, and the same materialism that affects others affects us, and we have to be careful that not to get caught in that spiral of ongoing expenditure, which takes on its own negative qualities. It's truly Lekavod Shabbos. That's what we're trying to accomplish.
I walked in the middle, so I don't. But just commenting on that,
please.
There's such a other side to it. I get torn sometimes. Okay, for example, if you could buy a really nicer bekasha,
mm-hmm.
and you're wearing that bekasha on Shabbos, there's such a fine line of what's.
That's great. I mean, that's the idea.
Yeah,
if that's what the person's intent is. But what happens is sometimes is that. Now this guy or this lady buys this, the Lekavod Shabbos, and then the other guy or lady sees that, needs to do one better, and then you get into this.
But
it's no longer Lekavod Shabbos anymore. It's
but it was
some
Lekavod Shabbos for the person who originally bought
Correct.
That.
Yes,
are we
was.
Supposed
and still
to
is.
Not do something because somebody else might do something that's
no.
Definitely
not. Yeah,
okay.
It's all a question of intent and what our motivation is. Sure.
But the Yetzer Hara, in the realm of dressing and ostentatious dressing, goes way back with the Jewish.
Yes, it does.
And there are shilas and shuvas that go back to the Middle Ages that talk about people toning it down and not spending so much at bar mitzvahs and not dressing, ostentatiously before the Gentiles and so on.
Well, it found its way into funerals. Rabbi Gamliel had to make a takana at funerals, which is 2,000 years ago, that everybody be dressed in the same shrouds, the same simple white clothing, because competition crept into how they were dressing the dead. So Rabbi Gamliel, from the Mishnah, made a takana that it's uniform and it's the same, and that's what has stood since then.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't find that takana, in life. We find it for those who have passed away. And in life, we have the challenge of, I think your point, Bruce, of working hard to keep our intention and our motivation online and in order. That's the
necessity. Sometimes, I guess, it's the Yetzer Hara, you don't know if you're fooling yourself.
Right.
I mean, it's very hard. You can go crazy. This whole thing can make
you
crazy.
Yeah, you don't want to go nuts, I think you just have to ask yourself, is this Lekavod Shabbos or not? If it is, and there are other things mixed in there, like an Abrams question, that's all right. It's just what is a person's primary motivation. I think that's the real issue. Neil, you had a question, comment?
The mitzvah are the only ones.
Well, they kept getting washed, right? By miraculously, they didn't have to wash any clothes, right?
God's dry cleaners.
That's right.
But we were wearing the clouds.
Same day service.
The cloud washed our clothes. Cleaned our clothes
for us. The clouds were our clothes.
Yeah. Well, in a certain respect, that's true too, right?
Jihadistic for guaranteed overnight delivery.
So in the sukkah, it's which are like the clouds, I guess maybe you could just go in there with almost anything and you can just say, you know, like the story of the king who went out, you know, and he said, house is closed, you know, he was, right.
Okay. Ube'emes, is that totally b'mei ha'maisa? K'mosha kasuv Sheshes yamim tavod v'asisa komul atecha hamuta alecha. So that in truth, this preparation of our body, meaning that our body becomes pure and holy to receive the extra neshama that we carry on Shabbos, this preparation has a great deal to do. It hinges upon what we do during the week, he said. And that's what the Torah means. You shall work for 6 days and do all your work, which is upon you to do. Then, v'oz v'yom ha'shvi'i, the Shabbos day shall be Shabbos for you, for Hashem. So the Torah is telling you, work for 6 days, right? Sheshes amin ta'avod, do this. Do avod, go out there, do your job. Everything that's responsible, that we're responsible for, and guarding ourselves properly. Afal pikein, kishabu Shabbos, v'odem mishtokek l'kablo b'tahara. Oz berega echod, ki'ilu malach t'chasuya. But when Shabbos comes, and a person longs and desires, yearns to receive Shabbos in purity, then in one moment we must see it as if all of our work is complete. Mm-hmm. So during the week, you know, we're working on projects and earning a living, and we have a certain momentum that we build, and then Shabbos comes, and the mentality we have to develop is, our work is done. Our work is complete. And that's a difficult thing, you know, on Friday afternoon. For some people it's not. For some people it's, thank God I can stop doing this, you know, for another 36 hours I'm putter from doing malacha. You know, that's a relief. But for other people, when you're really into your week and you have that momentum and you got to put on the brakes, and there are a few things that are loose ends and you haven't finished this project and Shabbos comes, and our mentality is that it's done. Complete.
I know that personally I need 2 or 3 hours. I'm better if I could stop work, you know, now when Shabbos is, let's say, in the 5-ish area. If I can know that I stopped work at 2 o'clock, I need that time to mellow into not Shabbos, into getting rid of the hametz in my body, you know what I mean? You know,
sure.
I really do. Otherwise, I'd come to shul, and I'm sitting there constantly saying, "Stop thinking about this. Stop working on this." And it's so. And I've taken on Shabbos, and I'm relaxed. So it's a great time, really, to think about But it's hard. I mean, and it's a struggle where I find and just I'm not at the level where I can just say.
I meet
those hours.
Yeah, it's a mentality. I remember I was once on a Shabbaton with Rabbi Twersky, Zichron Livracha, and it was with a group of Jewish people in Illinois somewhere, and they were not Orthodox Jews. Most of them were. And the very first thing he said when Shabbos began was, "I'd like everybody to think that all the work that they left behind them back in the city is done, because there's nothing you can do about it right now anyway. So let it just be done." And that's this, you know, this concept. Mm. It's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Is that why you have like Mal Hamacha, you try not to go right from Shabbos back to work, you're trying to ease back out of it?
Malav HaMalka is also a transition the other way. But there's an interesting thing about Malav HaMalka where, you know, Malav HaMalka, although we're creating that bridge between Shabbos and the week. And we can look at it in that way. It's, you know, coming off the high of Shabbos and gradually working our way back down into the week. But simultaneously, Malava Malka is going up. It's the crown of the queen for Shabbos. So both things happen at the same time. Okay. Let's take a look at another one.
For the Shechina, it's Yom Shekula Shabbos, and for us, it's no longer Shabbos.
Right.
Abdallah at our house often takes the form of wine, spices, flame, and ESPN Sports Center.
You gotta get that Malava Malka somewhere in the middle there.
It's hard.
There's a discussion hard. About that in the Gemara in Pesachim, mm-hmm. I think.
Especially ESPN Sports
Center. With Ayin Shin.
Take a look at one. This is,
yeah,
we can do it. It's a little on the long side, but we can work through it. On page 97, the bottom left column.
Did you write the ESPN Newsweek
Parsha? The year Tafresh Mem Zayin, second paragraph, second mimer. V'hine mitzuvin b'chol yom lizkor matan Torah. We are instructed to remember daily the giving of the Torah. It's one of the things that we're trying to remember every day. Kama shakasu v'hodatem, as it says, you shall make it known to your children. Yom asher amada talifnei Hashem alokecha b'chorev, the day you stood before God in at Chorev. That's the name of the place, another name for Sinai. Right.
Is Chorev related to like the word Becherev, sword, korban?
It is related to that word, yes. It's also related to the word to be dried up, like the Midbar is dried up, right? I don't know the connection there, but both they do share the same shorish. Ki ha-Torah hi lamala mehazman. Torah itself is above time. It's not pinned down to time. And are remembering it every day, then is this concept. In Cain, yesh ba tamid hizchadshus. The Torah then is always being renewed. It's above time. Kamo b'shas Kabbalah Satorah, like at the very moment of Kabbalah Satorah itself. That moment doesn't disappear, even though now Matan Torah is over as a physical event, but the giving of the Torah to the Jewish people happens at all times. It's always happening. That's his insight here.
Always happening, uh-huh. Not just on time.
Right.
Okay. Always
that's right.
Happening.
Right. We say there was Matan Torah, you know, but that was the event at Har Sinai. But as far as God transmitting Torah to Bnei Yisrael, that's ongoing.
You're saying there is Matan.
Flamala, right. Flamala me'azman. And therefore, we have to accept it and remember it every day. You had a question?
No.
Well, and that's the reason why learning Torah is so essential to having a sense of being able to go beyond time, beyond
yes.
the limits of time, and
yes.
to mm-hmm. access his chadshus.
Yes. And it's almost as if we don't learn Torah on a certain day, that we miss Kabbalah HaTorah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for that day is Kabbalah HaTorah, we lost out on it. Mm-hmm. And when we learn it, we have been Makabal Torah on that day.
Mm-hmm. Do we have a concept of a separate Kabbalah in connection with Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebal Peh?
Yeah, Purim was when they say Kimu V'Kiblu,
right.
that they reaccepted the Torah again.
Mm-hmm.
That refers to an acceptance of Torah Shebal Peh.
Right.
And there was, you know, some doubt about that, to whatever extent that means at Har Sinai, because Kaf Aleihem Har Kigigis, mm-hmm. and Hashem held the barrel over our head, the mountain like a barrel.
Right.
So that's a little bit of a taina that maybe it wasn't out of Bechira.
So Lemaisa, in our own thinking, I mean, is there a way that we want to be open to Kabbalah Satorah every day? Is there a way in your opinion, it's helpful to think of it as a separate sort of opening, an opening to Kabbalah Satorah, Shabbat Ksav, and Kabbalah Satorah Shabbat Peh? Is that a helpful distinction, or is just want to be open to Torah in whatever way? It's one Kabbalah.
I think once we are committed to the fact that Torah Shabbat Ksav and Torah Shabbat Peh go hand in hand, that it can be a general Kabbalah Satorah, but practically speaking, we have to have a hand in both. In other words, in terms of learning, there's Torah Shabbat Ksav learning and Torah Shabbat Peh learning, and there's even appropriate times. It's an inyan not to learn Torah Shabbat Ksav at nighttime,
right,
only to learn Torah Shabbat Peh at nighttime. So there are some practical differences as far as how we learn it, but I think the Kabbalah of it is the same.
What's behind that?
That's based on a midrash that said that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai, he learned Torah Shabbat Ksav by day and Torah Shabbat Peh at night. So in order to follow that format, we do that. And it's even considered to be harmful, in whatever that means, to learn Torah Shabbat Ksav at nighttime. That's why many people don't say Tehillim at night, myself included, because it is part of the written Torah,
right,
written Tanakh. If there's an emergency, then that's okay.
What are you considering night?
After Tehillim, after nightfall.
Yeah,
you could say after sunset, but pardon me?
You're teaching Tehillim.
Right. Now, what you can do is this, that if you do Torah Shabbat Ksav with Meforshim, you learn Torah Shabbat Ksav with Meforshim, then that's considered to be acceptable. So a person wanting to learn Chumash at nighttime, they should learn Chumash with Rashi. Because now when you learn the Meforshim, you're making this a Torah Shabbat Peh thing.
Practically speaking,
yeah,
I'm asking you this, what about learning Chumash with, like, Moshe David, who's in school during the day? Any time I could learn with him,
he's homework for the kids.
It's okay. It's certainly okay. But you know what you might do, and you probably do it anyway, is that if you tell him a little pshat, you know, or a little Rashi, or a little Midrash says,
read
on this,
then
you have the Torah Shabbat Peh part of it too, and then it's okay.
I even tell him a little Rabbi Goldberger.
No, that's okay. That's all right.
Kaveh, he says, from his Rebbe, he says, the little Midrash says.
Yeah. Okay. Im ken yesh ba tamid hizchadshus kamo b'shas kabbalah satorah. So therefore there is a regular renewal of Torah just as there was at the time when the Torah itself was received. V'chein hoya b'vada im lo hoya hacher achar kach. He says, and certainly all the more so if we had not sinned with the golden calf immediately following, that we would apparently experience this in even a more dramatic fashion. When we received the Torah, our souls were raised. Just as when God spoke the 10 statements at Bereshis and created the world with 10 statements, and the world, the heavens and earth were made, likewise, the corresponding 10 commandments, the Aseres Hadibros, which do correspond to the Aseres Ma'amoros, when Hashem said, for example, I am Hashem Elokecha, Chal Elokus on the Foshos B'nai Yisrael, godliness took effect on the souls of the Jewish people. It wasn't just that we heard the words, but it penetrated our being, it permeated our being. Uksiv Al Tiru Kilavavur Nasos, it says, do not fear, because in order to challenge you, Hashem is placing these things before you. These would be our nisyonos, to see if our awe of God is upon our face. Haina shenitin lohem ha'oris panim, shehu kisi ha'pnimiyu shenimsa ba'adam. What does it mean to see if the awe of God is upon our face? This means a radiant countenance. Because according to the inner human being, so is the radiance of his countenance. That's why the word panim, by the way, which means face, also means, or actually more accurately means inside. Panim means inside. And yet we use that word to describe our face, which is outside. That's because the face reflects what's inside the
human
being.
I never really connected it, but when it says, Yedaber Moshe im Hashem panim al panim.
Panim al panim.
That's a nice deep way.
Mm-hmm. U'mimashma shenemar es, and it says es, ki hayu yura shamayim la'amita. Now, I'm not sure what he's referring to when it says Aleph Tav here, and which S he means, but he says that it teaches us there they had achieved Yirat Shamayim in truth. Kireisa b'midrash she'ein omrim altira rak l'mi shehu yore shamayim l'amito. That you don't say to somebody, do not fear, except to a person who already has achieved complete Yirat Shamayim. I don't get the context of that. And it also says, who would make it so? Like, oh, that it would be so that their heart would be to them, meaning pure with God, as it says, bore leva, pure of heart. So that's what could have happened as a result of Kabbalah Sator without chait. Apparently this ongoing Kabbalah HaTorah with no obstacle whatsoever, with a pure heart, a pure inside and a pure outside, no barriers. However, but after the sin of the golden calf, the ego, naflu mizos hamadrega, we fell from this level. Umikol makom, however, ayidei hamitzvah shenasan lanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through each mitzvah that God gave us, yesh koach lahamshich ha'oras ha'neshama. We are able to bring forth the radiance of the soul. So we didn't lose contact with this ability for ongoing Torah. It became more difficult, and we descended. But each time we connect with the mitzvah, we connect with Kabbalah HaTorah. V'isa ki b'shabes kodesh machzir Moshe Rabbeinu l'b'nei Yisrael beis haksorim shalakdomas na'asa l'mishma. You know that when the Jewish people said, Na'aseh v'nishma, we will do and we will hear, they were given two crowns. And they lost the Na'aseh crown, the we will do crown, when they transgressed with the Chet Ha'ego. And the Nishma crown we retained. And each Shabbos that comes, Moshe Rabbeinu restores both crowns to the Jewish people. So when we have Shabbos, we have the Na'aseh and Nishma crowns. Yesh lomar, it's possible to say, shehu beis ha'oros hanal.
And those are inside of us, those crowns?
Right.
But they're inside of us.
Right. Right. He says it's possible to say that these two crowns are two types of light. What are they? Ha'oros panim, the radiance of one's face, ubore levav, and the pureness of one's heart. That's something rather cryptic, you know, what does that mean, those are two crowns. U'b'mitzvah tefillin gam b'mei ha'maisa nimsa l'fi sha'a ha'aros eilu. Likewise, during the days of the week, through the mitzvah of tefillin, we also achieve these two crowns and these two lights. Tefillin shorosh, the tefillin upon our head, k'mo shekasu, shema Hashem nikra alecha v'hu aros panim, God's name is called upon us. That always refers to the tefillin shorosh. That refers to a radiant face. But tefillin shel yad, and the tefillin on our arm, neged halev, which goes next to our heart, levarer halev, to purify the heart. So we do have a little bit of the two crowns during the week when we put the tefillin up. L'chein tzrichim lihiyos b'tefillin b'shas kriyashma shoz yicholin l'hoyid alav yisborach. That is why it is necessary to wear tefillin when we say Shema. Because at that moment we're testifying about God, as it says, L'man tihya Torah Hashem b'ficha, that the Torah of God shall be upon your lips. U'kamo shekasu v'asim devorai b'ficha, I shall place my words upon your mouth. Shebishas kabolas ha-Torah nitin ze ha-koach b'fiyan shal Yisrael. V'var malchus ha-yisborach ba'olam. Meaning, that at the time of Kabbalah HaTorah, we were given the power and the capacity in our mouth, verbally, of the Jewish people, to clarify and establish God's malchus, his kingship in the world. And that verbal ability came to us then. U'kamo kein b'Shabbos Kodesh, likewise on Shabbos, as it is called, Yoma de Sahadusa, a day of testimony, Zochar is Yom HaShabbos, Shabbo Nitin the Torah, because on Shabbos the Torah was given. V'zochar v'shamar heim beis ha'aros hanal. Also,
so that means like we're supposed to proclaim this.
Right.
Right.
Right. And
it's not a secret. It's not a secret.
Right.
It's supposed to talk about it and share it with people.
Yes, and we say Shema out loud. You know, mm-hmm. we say it out loud and proclaim that. So these two lights, he's drawing a couple of places where we get them from. We got them in Naaseh v'Nishma, Kabbalah Satara. We get them every Shabbos. We get them when we put on tefillin. One has to do with a radiant face that reflects what's inside the human being, and one has to do with a pure heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says additionally that, let me just get to the last phrase, Zachar v'Shamar. Those two words about how to keep Shabbos, to remember Shabbos and to guard Shabbos, Heim Beis HaAros Hanal. Those are the two crowns. Remember Shabbos to keep it holy and guard the Shabbos. As it says, Shemira B'Leif, you guard something in your heart. That's where you guard something. Zechira b'peh u'b'moach. You remember something in your mouth and in your mind. That's something to think about. That's an interesting idea. V'kideyisa afilo ama oretz emas Shabbos olav, shu shakasuv yirasu apanechem. As the Chachamim write, that an ama oretz, an ignorant person who was not learned at all, but on Shabbos, he still has the fear of heaven upon him. And they said in the time of the Gemara that an Am HaOretz, an unlearned person, would not lie on Shabbos. They would always be truthful on Shabbos because of the spirit of the day. Panim HaMiyucha LeYish Yisrael V'Koach HaOretz HaNesham B'Gaseira. A special face is designated to a Jewish person with the power of the light of this.